Begin the current daf Maseches Me'ilah daf Yud. Begin three lines down at the top of the Yamad. But the Gemara continues in discussion related to the previous daf, and that is we open up a halacha of a Mishnah, and the Gemara related a Marok dispute relating to the halacha of a Mishnah regarding the Efer Tapuach, regarding the pile of ashes after they had done Trumas Adeshin from that pile of ashes where all the korbanos were burnt in it. They put it to the side on top of the Mizbeach. There was Machlekes regarding if there's going to be Me'ilah in that pile. So that's why Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, it says, Hakol Maidim, everyone, meaning Rav and Reb Yechon, who they have this dispute regarding the Efer Tapuach, if there's going to be Me'ilah in that pile of ashes, where on one hand we would say, as the opinion says, that there's not going to be Me'ilah because it's already Nasas Mitzvasa, you already did the mitzvah of taking off the Truma, which is the shovel full of the ashes. On the other hand, the other opinion says, there's still going to be Me'ilah because the Kohen who takes out all the ashes to the place of the Deshen has to wear his common garments. So that says Rava, but Eben would agree in the following case. Shemnena mi baster kachi kachim shenitma. If someone has benefit, his pleasure, from the meat of kachi kachim, they became tummy. And that's even if, as the Girsa says, kaidim zrika, even before the blood was thrown, where after the blood was thrown, then we said there's no me'ilah. We're talking about even before the blood was thrown, but the meat became tummy. And so too, umeimuri kachim kalam la'achar shahalan. So too, regarding the sacrificial parts of kachim kalam, where generally after the zrika, then actually there is me'ilah, but after it was already placed on top of the mizbeach, even though it's not yet having become ashes, but once the fires took a hold of the sacrificial parts, then in these two cases, the potter, everyone's going to agree that there's going to be exemption from me'ilah. Now the Gemara asks on this teaching of Rava, Pshita, obviously that there's going to be an exemption from Me'ilah. Because my Kamafsid, what exactly did the person cause a loss to Hektish? The halacha of Me'ilah, misappropriation, is like stealing from Hektish. Once the meat of Kacha Kacha became Tameh, so it's not fit anymore for the Kahanim or for Hashem. And so do the sacrificial parts of Kacham Kalam, once it was already placed up on top of the Mizbeach and the fires took a hold of it, what's called Nasas Mitzvah, the Mitzvah is already done. So it's already finished. So of course there's not going to be Me'ilah in these two cases. Now, actually, as Rashi points out, although the Gemara had said in the previous parakeet of Heim Abayz that by Pigul, there actually is always going to be Halach of Me'ilah, and we don't ask, what do you mean, what are we causing a loss? There's no utility for Pigul either. That says Rashi, that's different over there, that there there's Me'ilah, because since there you have Meratzen LePigula, the Zrikas Adam, although it's a problem, but it's something that, in a constructive way, it creates a Halach of Pigul. Therefore, it's considered significant and can create pigul. So therefore, it's also going to be significant that it then uses in the transformative properties of the Zrikas Adam that creates the halacha of Me'ilah, even though it's not causing a loss. But in general, over here, when there's no loss, so why should there be halacha of Me'ilah? We need Rava to tell us that everyone would agree that over here there's not going to be Me'ilah. Says the Gemara, what would you say that basa kachar kachim shenitma, regarding the meat of kachar kachim that became tamei, that we would say there still has some sanctity to it? Why? Because isle mitzvah srifa l'kahanim, there's a mitzvah for the kahanim to go out and burn it in the kodesh, in the azara, like other psulei hektish. And so too by muri kachim kalim, so too by the sacrificial parts of kachim kalim, even if it's already put on top of the mizbeach, but there's still ikka mitzvah lafuchim b'tzinur, there's still a mitzvah regarding it so that it should burn fast, to go ahead and turn it over with the forks that they had over there, and therefore there's still some avoda element left to these two things to be liable for it on the halacha of me'ilah. Therefore, that's what we needed Rava to say, that no, there's not going to be halacha me'ilah, as Taisa explains. Because, let's regarding turning over the emur kachar kalam with a fork, you don't really need it, because it could just go ahead and burn by itself. Therefore, that's not considered significant enough to be considered chayiv me'ilah. And so, to regarding the meat of kachar kachim that became tamei, even though there's a mitzvah to burn it, but however, the moment that you do the zrikas adam, it's really considered the mitzvah was fulfilled, as we find that you don't need to have the big de kahuna when you burn it, and therefore that's the chiddush of Rava. Now, if one were to ask, but why is Rava saying sacrificial parts of kachim kalam afterwards put on top of the mizbeach is exempt from me'ilah? But we said before on the previous daf that before Trumas Adeshin, everyone is in agreement. This machlokes that we quoted before from Rav and Rabbi Yechonon, that no one's going to disagree that there's going to be halach of me'ilah. And here we're talking about that it's before Trumas Adeshin because it's not even burnt yet. It was just the fires just took a hold of it. So why would one be exempt? And this is Rashi, it's not difficult, because in the previous daf we were talking about the ashes of an oila, or the sacrificial parts of kachar kachim, which was the halachas of our Mishnah, which are stringent. Therefore, there's going to be me'ilah up until it's taken out to the place of where the ashes are. But regarding emur kachim kalim, which are not so stringent, therefore that's what we're saying, that yeah, if someone has benefit from it after the emurim of the kachim kalim were put on the top, would be exempt from the laws of me'ilah. Another teaching from Amar Rava qualifying the brayso we had said in the previous daf, Hada Amr, this that you said, which we had introduced the Braisa, which was supporting Rav in his opinion. So this that the Braisa had said, that Kvar Korva Chatas Yelchul Yama Melech, if regarding the Mi'ila, the person that committed from part of the monies of the Chatas. So he said, if it's before, so he just adds it to the monies, makes it one big Karma Chatas, the principal is paying back with the added fifth. But if the Karma Chatas is already sacrificed, so then the Braisa said, Yelchul Yama Melech, so then it's like the Ma'isu Chatas, and then it's like one of those which the Chatas is Maces, and regarding money, you throw it to the Dead Sea. Now that qualifies Rav, and he says, "Brahani mila de isi delay." That's only if he became aware that he committed mila kame kapara before the atonement. In other words, before the carbon was actually sacrificed. So, although he had already bought the animal, so since really he should have added on the monies of the principal and the fifth on the original monies. So it's like that now he has the principal and the fifth. It wasn't designated for a loss. Rather, he could have sacrificed it. So essentially, here you have this animal, you have these monies. So it's like a chata shekipra balev who got a tomb with something else. So then you're going to throw the monies to the Yam HaMelech. Avol, but says Rava, let's say he became aware that he committed mila la'acha kaparo after atonement, after the karma chata is already sacrificed. And only then he became aware of the me'ila. So that principle and the fifth that he would be separating and paying up right now, that would not be qualified at all for the karma chata because he already had a tomb with something else. And if you're going to say it's going to go to Yam HaMelech, he's going to be designating it to be throwing it away. Rather, says Rava, Yiplu Nadava. There the monies are actually going to go for Nadava, for the Tzibur, for a carbon. My time, what's the reason? Because we don't initially separate and designate monies to go to be wasted. And here, when you become aware, you're going to be designated, it's going to be automatically Yam HaMelech. So therefore, rather, here in this case, actually would be going for the Nadava, the Tzibur. The halacha of the Braisa was only if he became aware of before the actual carbon was sacrificed. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos. Now we're talking about specifically things that are themselves matir, and they themselves are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. So says the Mishnah, HaKlemetz, which is the fistful of the flower offering, V'Levayna and the frankincense, V'Kateris and the incense, U'Michas Kohanim, which the Pasuk says, V'Chomichas Kohen Kol Tia, whenever a Kohen brings a flower offering, it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. U'Michas Kohen Mashiach, which refers to the Chavita Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol every day would bring a flower offering. U'Michas Nesachim, which that refers to a flower offering that comes with a korban that has its own Nesachim of wine, which that flower offering doesn't have any Shirayim, because all the cases of a Mishnah are talking about when these items are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. So on that says the Mishnah, Ma'ilim behen mishahuk tishu. Regarding all these things, there's a halacha me'ila in them the moment they're orally sanctified. And kitchen bekli, when they're sanctified in the vessel, hukshli pasal betful yom, ubim chosi kiporim, ubalina, as we said in the previous Mishnah, then already there's a certain sanctification to them to be vulnerable, to become invalidated by being touched by tful yom, ubim chosi kiporim, ubalina, or being left out overnight. And v'chayyam la b'shem neisu b'shem tamei, and also here the liability is going to be ready at this point, as the Gemara will explain just the difference between the previous Mishnah. Liability for being left over its designated time, or the carbon has a certain limited time that it can be eaten, or mishum tamei that it became tamei, that's already from when it's already sanctified in the vessel. Moreover, upigal imba. All these cases don't have the halacha of pigal relating to them because they don't have matir and they have nothing else that's permitting them. They themselves are totally burnt on the mizbech. As the Mishnah says, Zahakal, this is the rule. Kol sheyesh lematirin, whatever has permitters, like a karmen shlamim and the chatas and the asham, because what permits the blood that's sprayed on the mizbeach, that permits the sacrificial parts to be sacrificed and the meat to be eaten by the kohanim. Or let's say something that has even just permitters for the mizbeach itself, like the oilas sa'if or oilas be'ema, where the blood permits it to the mizbeach. Or for example, the shtei alechem, the two breads on shavuos, where the bloods of the lambs permit them to be eaten by the kohanim, or the lechem aponim, where the bezich and the frankincense permits them, or by regal flower offerings, where the fistful permits the rest, what's called the shirayim. So then, in chayom the love, by them you're not going to be liable, mishum pigal b'neis v'tamei, ad sheikrivi matir. There it takes effect when the permitter, whether it be the blood or the kohanim, like we just said, when they're sacrificed. Because the laws of pigal are written by the parsha of Shlom, which says lo yiratz, and the Gemara Zvachim of Chavchesma Beis explains kar kos kosher kachatzar is pigal, just like the hartza, the willingness, the acceptance of a carbon is by the permitter, which let's say by regular carbon is the blood. That's actually what takes effect and creates the laws of pigal in those things that have permitters. Now neiser and tamei also are not liable until carbon matirin like pigal, because as the Gemara will explain. And also it's taught over there in Zvachan of Mehayim and Alv, we learn that Neisr from Kodesh, Kodesh, and Pigal, and Tommy learns that Chil, Chil from Neisr. which we know that just like pigle is at the time of the Zrika, so too over here, which in other words, it's the matirin that permits the rest and then takes effect these three violations to be liable for pigle, nois, and tummy. Now, b'chol she'ein l'matirin, like the cases of our Mishnah, that don't have permitted is like the fistful itself is the permitted. Nothing else permits it to be sacrificed. Or the frankincense, they themselves are matirin. So then, kibin she'kiddush b'kli, once they're sanctified in the vessel, chayav n'lav mishum nois v'tami, that's already, then you'd be liable if it's left over its designated time, or if it became tame. Tame, as we'll learn later on the Gemara, it says, v'tamei love, v'tamasa love, v'nichrisa, which the pasuk is talking about by kala kadishim over there, by all kadishim. And because of neiser, it's because we learn that chil from tame. However, upigal ain't but there's not going to be liability of pigal because we don't find the chi of pigal only by something like by shlamim, which is the written by pasha pigal that has matirim, that's something that permits the meat to be eaten and the emurim to be burnt. And therefore, by these things that don't have matirim, because they themselves are matirim, or they're totally burnt, and there's nothing else permitting something else, the laws of pigal do not apply to it. As you continue to base the Gemara, how do we know that the laws of neiser and tamei are going to be liable both for things that have matirim and for things that don't have matirim? I mean, pigle, we said, is only that have matirin. But how do we know the other two halachas apply even something that doesn't have matirin? Says the Gemara, turn around and learn the Braisa. Braisa says, Yachl in chayav mishum tumi. Yeah, one would think one would not be liable for the problem of when something of kodjim become tummy, that is a liability of karas. El b'dav eshesh l'matirin, only if it's something that has permitters. And says the Braisa, but then, because logic would dictate like this. Why? Uma pigle shahu, if regarding the laws of pigle, which are so stringent, that it creates a liability of a karban b'yadiya achas with just one awareness, meaning, if he becomes aware that he ate pigle, you don't need to have two awarenesses like we're going to contrast regarding Tumas Mikdash or Kedashim. If someone's tummy and they eat something of Hektish or goes into the base of Mikdash, whereby Tumas Mikdash or Kedashim, you need to have two awarenesses. You need to have an awareness in the beginning and awareness at the end, meaning an elapse of awareness in the middle, like the Pasuk says, Vanela. He had a lapse of awareness, which obviously means to say that at one point he knew. And then the Pasuk says, Vuhuyada, that he knows, which obviously means to say another awareness. In contrast, Pigul only requires one awareness, moreover, which is astringency. More of a carbonic kavua, has a permanent carbon. If someone eats pigle by mistake, it has to bring a chatas behema, which is absolute for everyone. And b'lehut machlali, there's no exemption for the laws of pigle that's permitted, let's say, by the tzibur, by the public. And still in chayav ne'elal davishesh matirin, the laws of pigle only apply for something to create it that's going to be pigle for karas, if it has a permitter. Sure, regarding the laws of tumah, shebishteyidis, which we find that regarding when the person is tummy, it requires two awarenesses. Moreover, the laws of Tumash Mikdash or Gedashim depends. You don't have to always bring a Chatzis Behema. Depends on your financial status. There's three different tiers of how much of what type of carbon you have to bring. And moreover, of Huchim Achlala. For example, like the carbon Pesach, when the Reib of the Tzibur is Tamei, so then the carbon is brought in a state of impurity. So it's more lenient than the laws of Pigel, isn't it a Kavu Chaymer, that for sure the liability shall only be for something that has permitters? Tamalim says the Braisa, therefore the Pasuk has to teach us in the Yikra. It says, Emar Aleim L'Derisechem, tell them for their future generations, Kalisha Sheyukar Mekol Zarachem, Ugeimer, any one of them that's going to bring a carbon from their children, which the Pasuk Ugeim, etc. says, El HaKadoshim Asher Yigdishu B'nei Yisrael Hashem, for all the Kadoshim that they're going to sacrifice, and V'tomasa Lov, it's going to be a state of impurity, V'nirchas HaNefeshim L'fanei, so he's going to get a punishment of Karas when he's Tamei, and he's partaking of Kadoshim. And the Pasuk is telling us, B'chala Kadoshim HaKadoshim Dabba, the Pasuk is telling us by all Kadoshim, it's coming to include all Kadoshim of the laws of Tumah, whether it has Matirin or whether it doesn't have Matirin. Now continues the Braisa, Yachol, so you would think that if it's something that has Matirin, you, Chayub and Alein, so the liability would be a problem about Tumah, Miyat, right away, even before the Matirin are sacrificed, and those that don't have Matirin should be liable for Tumah also immediately, meaning even before it's put into a vessel. Tamalayma Asha Yikrav. That's why it says Asha Yikrav, which Yikrav sounds like touching, which we would think that the liability would be by just touching, because the word Chiyiga, like it says in Yikrav Dalf, the Targum translates Ari Yikrav. Now, that the problem is, Amar Balazi says, V'chiyesh Nageshu Chayiv, is there any violation of touching that's Chayiv Karas? No. But then the problem is, so then why does it say Asha Yikrav, which sounds like just touching? Rather, says Rabbi Laza, it's not coming to say that the liability of Karas is about touching in a state of impurity. Rather, it's coming to say that there's not going to be a liability of tummy until it's kosher, until it's readily kariv to be sacrificed, meaning to say that the material were already sacrificed. How so? So he says, "Kaldovish es matirin." If it has permitters, so in the chayvet sheyikruv matirin. So it's not going to be liable for the laws of if someone's eating in the state of impurity until the matirin already sacrificed, because then it's karav, mean to say, then it's ready to be sacrificed, because it could only be sacrificed after the matirin. Kaldovish ein lamatirin. Whatever does not have permitters, because it itself is a permitter, so in the chayvet sheyikruv matirin, and it's not liable until it's sanctified first in the vessel, where then it itself is also now ready to be sacrificed. It doesn't have matirin to be permitted, but it has to first be sanctified in the vessel. But before it's sanctified in the vessel, or those that have matirin before the matir is karav, then it itself is not karav, it's not ashiyikav, it's not ready to be sacrificed, and therefore that's what we learn out from those extra words to say that it has to be ready to be sacrificed, and whether it has matirin or not would depend on if it needs matir or the vessel to sanctify it. And as we said, and regarding neiser, we learn out chilu chilu from tamei, as the Gemara says, zvachem daf mem heyim nav. Hanel chatzas oiv, which I'll return to the second paragraph of Masechtas Me'ila, parak chatzas oiv, which spoke about, besides like the first paragraph about animal sacrifice of kachem kalam, they spoke about others like the bird kabbonis and the flower offerings, and it was spoke about primarily about hechsherah, the way that Me'ila happens in a straightforward, appropriate carbon about its processions and procedures regarding the later stages of sanctification. With that, we begin the third parak of Masechtas Me'ila, parak Vlad Chatas, which this talks about the exemptions in the laws of Me'ila. Says the Mishnah as follows: Vlad Chatas, a child of a karma chatas. Chatas is a female animal and it's pregnant and it has a child. Or a tmur's chatas, someone does a tmur where he swaps this, he extends the sanctity of the carbon onto a chuln animal by trying to swap it, which now both have a sanctity of a chatas. And the chatas shemeis ba'leo, in the third case, when there's a karma chatas that the owner passed away and it wasn't sacrificed, so regarding all these three animals of chatas, yimusu, they all die. And the reason is because these are three out of the five chatois hameses. Now these three, the reason why they're mentioned separately than the next two that we're going to say, as the Gemara is going to explain, is because they always die, whether it's before he had atonement or after he had atonement. The reason why a vlad chatas dies is because it's not fit for atonement, because it wasn't originally designated to be the carbon. And tmuras chatas also is left to die because it was created through sin, because the Torah says lo yomer. And the chatas shemeis baleo also is left to die because there's no atonement for a dead person, because his death was already his atonement. So therefore they're left to die. Now, b'shibishanasa, also if the chatas already bypassed its year, where it has to be within its first year to be brought as a carbon. Or the last case, the fifth one, v'sha'avda, or when it was unblemished, it was lost. But then subsequently, b'nimses b'amum, it was found in a blemished state. So regarding these two, the Mishnah says as follows: im mishakipru habayilim, if the owner got atonement with a different animal, I mean they didn't want to get atonement with the value of this one that either passed its year or was lost and found to be a blemished animal, so then Thomas, they also are going to be left to die. And that's even if it was found before the atonement, and then the owner gets atonement with another one, it's going to be left to die, because since it was found as in a blemished state, or past its year, which is also, it cannot be brought as a carbon. Because in contrast, if let's say it was found unblemished before the atonement, then even if it gets atonement with the other one, actually the halacha would be that the first one would not be left to die, rather it would go out and graze, as the Gemara says in Temura, tefach bezim enaf. But here we're talking about that it was lost and found in a blemished state. So then if the only one gets atonement with another one's left to die. And additionally, ve'eino is a timura. The halacha is that since he's getting atonement with the other animal, that means to say he's not considering significant this one at all that passed its year and or was lost and found in the blemished state, not for kedushas nezech, and not even for monetary sanctity, because he's not even using it to use its proceeds to get then by the chatas that he's chayven. So therefore, it's not strong enough to go ahead and take effect on another animal to create timura on that one. Because although we said that a Baal Mum can make a Temura, like it says, a Rabba Taiv, but here it's not going to take effect, because here he's not considering it significant enough even to have a monetary sanctity. And additionally, B'lay Nanan, initially one's not going to have benefit from this animal that passed its year or was lost and found blemished, because ultimately it was sanctified. But if one has benefit from it, V'lay Mailan, he's not going to commit the law of Mi'ila biblically, rather rabbinically, and therefore he only pays the principal, he doesn't add on that additional fifth. Now, however, as the Mishnah continues, but if, let's say, the owner did not yet get atonement with another animal, and that the first one was found, and now he wants to get atonement with the monetary value, he can't use the Baal Mum, but he wants to use its monetary proceeds from the Baal Mum, so since it's already blemished, so he could just sell it right away, and he could bring the chatas from the monetary proceeds of that first one. And if it's the other case of Ibrishnasa, where it passed its year, so it's not valid, but it's not blemished, so the halacha is going to be tira asher tistav, so you have to let it graze until it develops a blemish. But timacher, and then it's sold, v'ikru b'demei acheres, and with this proceeds, you go ahead and buy another karma chatas. And in these cases, if you're using this one, so then va'isa timura, then actually it could create timura, because since he's keeping it for monetary sanctity, because he's going to use its proceeds to buy gemachatas, so it is considered significant enough to create the laws of Temura and the Meilamba, and therefore there's also going to be halacha of Me'ilan that again has the same idea, because since he's keeping it with the laws of sanctity, it's going to have the laws of Me'ilah to it. Now the Gemara just clarifies, as we had already mentioned in passing, Maishnor Reisha. What's the difference by the opening first three cases of these Chamesh Chatos and Mesis? To Loika Mifliki, that the Mishnah doesn't differentiate and it just says that they're always going to be left to die, whether they only got atonement with them or doesn't get atonement with them. Well, Maishnor Sefer to Ko Mifliki, but why in the Sefer does he differentiate? He says it depends. If they only got atonement with another one, then it's going to be left to die. If he didn't, then it's not going to be left to die. What's the difference? So says the Gemara, because Reisha Psikale, in the case of the Reisha of the first three cases, there it's clear cut, they're always going to be left to die, because how could you differentiate in the Reisha? There it doesn't make a difference if he got atonement or he didn't get atonement, because like we said, Vlad Chatas and Tmur Chatas, they themselves are not a Chatas. And the Chatas Shemes Balao, the owner also died. So it's even if there is no atonement with another one, it's still going to be left to die. But in the Sefer, you could differentiate. Sefer loy psikalei. Sefer is not clear, like we said. There it depends. If he's getting atonement with another one, then he's going to be left to die. But if not, if he's using the proceeds of this once, then they're not going to be left to die, and therefore, it's obviously not going to be left to die, because he's using actually its proceeds to go ahead and buy a new Korban Chatos, and therefore wasn't put together the three and the two. Now the Gemara wonders, but hatan legabit tmur. The same Mishnah was learned and taught in Masechtas Tmur. Why are we repeating it here? Says the Gemara, tana hasa mishum tmur. The Mishnah toward the, in Masechtas Temura, because it wanted to teach the laws of Temura, which we spoke about the laws of Temura as they relate. If Kippur Ba'alem with some other ones, it doesn't make Temura. If he didn't get done with another one, then we said there is going to be Temura. And once we taught Temura, so with it we taught the laws of Me'ilah. And Tana Hacha Mishum Me'ilah. And here the Tana toward in Masechtas Me'ilah, because it wanted to teach the laws of how it applies to the laws of Me'ilah. That again, there's not going to be Me'ilah if he got atonement with another one, but if he didn't, then there is going to be Me'ilah. And once we taught it Me'ilah, so also taught in regards to the same thing is going to be regarding Temura, because they both share the same thing regarding these last two cases. That depends if Kippur Ba'aleh Ba'achar, then it's not going to be Me'ilah and it's not going to make Temura. Whereas if he didn't get atonement with another one, then he's going to use its proceeds, then it will make Temura and it will have the halacha of Me'ilah.